Well, there was the whole forbidden fruit thing with him when he was hanging out with his alumni. Remember that whole episode?
I do.
And it was also about like how he and Claire are super manipulative and controlling and...
Yeah, that was like the ultimate long con.
Yes, it was.
Right? They let this guy into their lives. They let him think that he was done and fired. And then he got to come back. It's like he owed them. Yeah. It's all part of the plan.
This is going to happen.
And like, they're doing that with him is, like, the ultimate, like, you belong to us. you do what we want you to do. You know?
You're a non-black slave.
Yes. True.
I don't know why he had to qualify it like that, but okay.
Because he's not a black.
Well, there's plenty of non-black slaves throughout history.
There's also just the word slave.
No.
Oh, jeez.
You're not rolling right, Justin. God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Hey there, geek guys and girls. Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. This is Randy, and today I am joined by Justin, David, and Amanda. How is everyone doing tonight?
Good.
Fabulous.
Awesome.
Sweet. So I figure there's some somber news that we need to get out first, kind of get it out of our system, and then we can continue on with the fun of the podcast. So to bring us down, I'm going to kick us over to David.
Yes, yes. Sad and terrible news out of the Emerald City that is Hollywood, California. Michael Bay is not directing Transformers 5.
Wow.
Wait, no, that's good news.
Okay. The real bad news, unfortunately, Mr. Robin Williams has passed away. Reports are sketchy at this point. Some outlets are reporting that he may have committed suicide. His manager and his wife have both come out and said that he has been extremely depressed as of late. But no official word, no one with a badge has come out and said the word suicide. So we'll kind of shelf that talk for now. That'll be a whole different conversation. But I was a huge Robin Williams fan. Birdcage, Aladdin, Good Morning Vietnam, even The Fisher King. I hate Terry Gilliam, and Robin Williams should have gotten an Oscar for The Fisher King. So what did you guys think of the man, the myth, the legend, Robin Williams? Justin.
I was saddened. I didn't actually hear about it until about 4:30 today. I was just away from my phone, and I was not prepared for the text that I saw from you guys. Kind of caught me off guard, actually. And it's definitely sad.
What about you, Randy? What was your thoughts?
I first heard about it from you as well when you texted us this afternoon, and it just, especially when I started reading articles into the suspected suicide, I couldn't believe that such a... It's weird when you hear about a comedian possibly dying that way, because he didn't seem like he would be that kind of guy. Now, it's all still speculation at this point. We don't know. But it's just so sad, because he was young. He was only 63. He wasn't very old. Granted, a lot of people think that his career isn't what it once was, and that had kind of maybe played into this depression he'd been going through, but still, he was an amazing guy, an amazing actor, and I think he had a lot of good roles left inside of him still, and it's just a shame that this happened.
Yeah. What about you, Amanda? What was your thoughts when you found out?
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I found out at work, like, everyone started talking about it. I don't know, so some must have been looking online at something, and that's how we all found out. But it's really sad. You know, some of my favorite movies were, he was involved in, like, Aladdin is my favorite Disney movie. I remember watching Mrs. Doubtfire over and over and over with my brothers.
Hook is a classic.
Yeah, Hook. We quote that every week.
Yeah.
Well, Amanda mentioned a couple of her favorites. What would you say your favorite Robin Williams movie is, Randy?
I'm going to go with Hook.
I can't go wrong with that.
I really like Jumanji, too.
Oh, gosh.
Even with Kirsten Dunst.
I couldn't get into Jumanji. I really like Hook, and I like Aladdin, too. I think Aladdin was the very first compact disc I ever purchased.
Wow.
Still have it.
You got the movie on compact disc, or did you get it on DVD?
No, I mean the soundtrack on compact disc. It was like $18.99.
And it came in a long box?
Yeah. Exactly.
For whatever reason.
Got it at Warehouse Music, if you guys remember that place.
I was going to ask if it was a warehouse. Awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah.
I love all those movies, but when I think Robin Williams, my favorite Robin Williams performance is his performance in The Birdcage. I love that movie to death, and what I like most about it is that he's such an over-the-top character, and in that movie, he's probably like the fourth most crazy person on the cast, and
right.
It's just great that like he's able to kind of be the, I hate using the word straight man in that when in regards to that movie, but he's kind of like the level-headed guy. And he's got Nathan Lane and just Hank Azaria just going to town, and they're both hysterical. And Robin Williams is like the one actually grounding these two just ridiculous characters, and it's just magic.
It is magic. And it has Republicans and Democrats coming together.
That's right.
It's a political
partisanship. Yeah.
It's all political, the whole movie.
Yeah.
And that's actually when I learned that The gay population is pretty big in Florida. That was my education. I was like 16 when it came out.
Yeah, like South Beach.
Yeah.
It taught you something.
She's like, I wonder if that's anything like Palm Beach or something like that. The mom.
Yeah, the mom.
Yeah.
Diane Wiest.
There you go.
Yeah. Poor Robin Williams. He will be missed. And, you know, he did win an Oscar. You know, he was one of the first comedians to go mainstream with dramatic roles, paved the way, and he was also one of the first main big actors to do like voice work in a cartoon. Before now, that's pretty much mainstay. You have to have a big name to do the voices, but you know, back when Aladdin came out, it was pretty revolutionary, and he was pretty amazing in it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, most of us couldn't even give you a voice actor's name, and now all you do is play a guessing game when you watch an animated feature of who the voices are.
Do you remember how triumphant you felt when Aladdin 3 was released and Robin Williams came back to do the voice of the genie? Yeah.
And then everyone watched it and they're like, oh, this isn't that good.
Like, oh man, there's a reason why this is direct-to-video. But
know,
still.
Exactly. You know what's funny too about Aladdin is like when I look at Beauty and the Beast or Aladdin or Lion King, I think those are three of the most amazing Disney films ever made. And when I see how much money like Frozen took in, I don't get it. I don't see why Frozen was such a phenomenon compared to these other three movies. I don't think it holds a candle to it.
Oh no, I mean, it's,
get it.
It's the marketing. It's mostly the world has gotten bigger for movie releases to where, you know, China wasn't watching animated Disney movies in, you know, 1990, 92, 93 when those movies came out. You know, to where domestically, Frozen's not making that much more. I mean, it made less than Lion King, but it's just international. You know, international's not something that they were marketing to at that time, and just wasn't as big. So
that's true. And also, like, you know, when I was a kid, obviously. So like Lion King came out when I was a freshman in high school. So that would have been, you know, all our word of mouth was just talking about it in school. We didn't have internet and Twitters and Facebooks and all that stuff. So I guess that makes a difference too.
And your ticket was $6 instead of 12.
Dude, I think it was like $3.75 for the matinee.
Probably. I bet if you looked up the adjusted gross for like Lion King, I bet it's more than Frozen.
I hope so.
Domestic anyway, for sure.
Yeah, definitely domestic. But yeah, I mean, because Lion King, I want to say maybe
it was in theaters forever.
Yeah, it was like $385 million its first run. And so, I mean, that Frozen, I want to say, just topped 400, so I guess Frozen technically made a little bit more, but once you adjust for inflation, Lion King kills
it's like it. 2-for-1 basically.
Yeah, it's like 700 million. It's like the new Avatar.
In all seriousness, it pretty much is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I went to a night show the other day and it was like $12.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, you look, there's 19 movies have grossed over $1 billion, and like all but one are from 2005 and on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to really start getting into the inflated box office results, which is good because Star Wars Episode IV is the second highest grossing movie when adjusted for inflation. So I'm all for it. Anything that puts my Star Wars back in the top two is good with me.
Well, there you go.
Gone with the Wind's number one, in case you care.
I don't.
I didn't think you did.
I don't give a damn.
There you go.
Wait, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
So, rest in peace, Robin.
We'll you know, wait, real quick on that, too. If suicide was the route that he took, just you guys have to know, our listeners, that that is so not the way to go about handling things. There are a million people that you can talk to. Obviously, go to your family and friends. If you don't think that you can talk to them, there is a national hotline for crying out loud. You know, I let me pull it up really fast. It's 1-800-273-TALK. That's and it, you'll talk to somebody, a trained counselor that can be available for you 24/7. So honestly, it's not the right answer. I know everything sounds terrible and it sucks and the world is feels like it's just against you, but trust me when I say that it is not the way to go.
You're really just hurting your friends and your family and showing to them that you never really cared for them.
Exactly, because then everyone's going to think that maybe they had something to do with it, or they're going to feel guilty, and that's not fair to anyone around you. Because trust me when I say that you are loved, and that's just ridiculous. And you know what? You can even talk to us, for crying out loud. If you're that bad, I want you to know that we at Geek Legacy will be happy to talk to you.
Or just we are trained professionals. We will listen to you. Exactly. Try not to mock you too much.
At least two of us will do it.
Sarcastic assholes, so I can't guarantee there won't be a whole lot of trash talking going on. But we'll do our best to put a smile on your face.
We won't even have to talk. We can just listen. That's all you need is just someone to vent to. Do it.
We can talk or not talk for hours.
Exactly. So just please. I will even put this phone number in the podcast description. Suicide Sweet. Is not the answer.
It never is. Well, now that we've taken the show down a notch, let's bring it back up a little bit and talk happy news. Talk Zoolander 2.
That is happy news. I hope that happens.
Yeah, Justin Theroux, who co-wrote Zoolander, also co-wrote Tropic Thunder. He's one of the showrunners on The Leftovers, the HBO show. Was being interviewed for The Leftovers and kind of dropped some hints that talks are underway for Zoolander 2. Ben Stiller's been trying to get this made for years. And once Anchorman 2 got made, they really opened some doors. And so I guess the script is done. They're just hammering out some details. And they're hoping to have something to show the studios and get this project off the ground. So I love Zoolander. I'm stoked for it. You guys have any concerns?
None.
Awesome. So, yeah, so that's all I got.
All right, so I don't know if you guys have been trolling around the internet today to see the new Star Wars news, but apparently there has been yet another little fun image leaked by our good friend J.J. Abrams from the set of Episode 7. This one is actually announcing the winner of the Star Wars Force for Change competition, or contest, rather, to get into the new movie. But in the little image that was released announcing the winner, there is the right hand of what appears to be a droid holding this sign. Could be a droid hand. It could be a robotic human hand, like a la Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, anybody who's had a hand cut off. And I think it could be a little bit of fuel to the fire for the whole crazy Episode 7 plot rumors that we were talking about a couple weeks ago, with the hand that's floating through space and lands and is found by people still clutching Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. I don't know if we're all reading too much into it by seeing this robotic-looking hand, but what do you guys think of the image? Have you seen it? And what are your thoughts?
You know what I think?
What do you think?
Okay, first of all, let's be clear. It's not Luke Skywalker's hand. It's that the whole plot thing's not going to be what's happening. But what infuriates me more than anything is that J.J. Abrams didn't learn anything from the debacle that was Into Darkness's marketing. You know, the whole scene where Cumberbatch comes out as Khan would have been an epic, triumphant moment if the marketing hadn't been so just wishy-washy and screwy and just like teasing and lying and backtracking. It completely took the teeth out of what would have been a really cool reveal. Even if we had gone into the movie knowing he was Khan, it would have been really cool when he's like, "I am Khan," you know. And I don't want him to do the same thing to Star Wars. I don't, because he basically, it was twofold. And on one hand, he completely changed how we were looking at the marketing material for Into Darkness, and I would say in not a good way. I would say that he really boiled everyone's expectations down to, is Cumberbatch Khan, or is he John Harrison, or is he some other fuck we don't even know? And by doing that, he trivialized all of the other relationships within the marketing. He trivialized all of the other characters' relationships up to the point where Khan's revealed in my eyes. And Star Wars being a very character-centric story, especially if we're going to reunite the old cast and we're going to bring in a new cast, I don't want us to be spending the next, this is in December, so the next, 19 months wondering, is that Luke Skywalker's fucking hand?
Was his right hand the one that was cut off?
Luke's?
Yeah.
That's a fucking great question. Yeah, yes.
His right hand. It is.
I'm like reliving the scene in my head. I'm like, yeah, it's right hand.
And we're looking at a right hand, right? The mechanical one?
And it could have all the flesh and stuff burnt off of it. It could just be Luke's robotic arm. You never know.
What if it's a bounty hunter's arm that got cut off by Luke? You have no idea whose hand it is. I don't see a serial number on there. It was filed off. This is a black market hand.
It's a T-800 hand.
Yes!
T-2.
There you go. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
I like the idea of John Boyega's character embarking on a quest. I would be fine if he finds some junk, and in the junk is this lightsaber, and we find out that somehow it's Luke's lightsaber. Can't be Vader's, because for my own personal reasons, but finds Luke's lightsaber and for whatever reason feels compelled to go on this quest, and it's the Force guiding him. I like the idea of that, of him seeking out Luke and Han and Leia and all of them. I just cannot fathom a scenario to where it's anything but laughable that this hand has been floating in space for 30 years and it's landing at John Boyega's house.
Yeah, it's almost as ridiculous as all the stuff from Guardians of the Galaxy where they're just floating around out in space and not dying or imploding or anything.
But they're not human.
What if he got his hand chopped off again?
Who's around to cut his hand off? The Ventress come out of hiding?
There's always a bigger fish.
There is always a bigger fish. Well spoken.
I took a class.
Mm. Do you accept our "they're not human" answer, Randy? No.
I'm still not buying it, but as I was listening to last week's podcast, I was sitting there driving home listening to that. I'm like, God damn it, that was another thing that bothered me about that movie.
What movie?
But Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Just floating around in space. Oh, it's okay. As long as you have something covering the flesh of your face, the rest of your body can just be exposed willy-nilly to the freezing vacuum of space.
But they're aliens. Even Star-Lord was he's half alien.
I get that.
Yeah, we never thought.
I'm done venting about that movie. We're moving on. We're moving on. I think we said all we're going to say about Star Wars. So
I think the hand, I don't think it's necessarily Luke's. I think it could be, but it could be somebody that's after Skywalker. Somebody that's been in the shit. You know what I mean? What if it's Boba Fett? What if he has a mechanical hand now?
Yeah, who knows how many mechanical parts that he's got by the time we catch up to him again in the sequels, much less the original trilogy. Who knows?
What if he chopped off Luke's hand and he uses it as a glorified back scratcher?
He's put on like a stick?
Yeah. No, we're talking. Or if it could pick up trash. What if we're at the junkyard and that's a trash collector? Like, you know how when you go to SeaWorld or something, you would get like those shark heads that picked up garbage?
Yeah,
even if it's just a Jedi hand garbage picker-upper.
Well, Justin, in that case, I agree. That'd be a great idea.
There you go.
If this movie opens with Boba Fett scratching his ass with Luke's severed mechanical hand, and then like it involuntarily like flexes and like squeezes his ass and it hurts him, he gets pissed and throws it out the airlock, then I am 100% fine with this scenario.
There you go. And then I'll win points.
You will win muchos points.
I'll catch Holden Snitch.
Yeah, pretty much. I like that, and I'm glad you took the moral high road, because it could just as easily have gone the direction of the masturbatory aid, where as long as you use somebody else's hand, you know. Or if you, like, it's like you sit on your hand till it falls asleep, and then you have your way with yourself, and it's like someone else doing it, because you don't feel it.
Yeah. Have you guys been keeping up with the Zack Snyder and J.J. Abrams pictures they've been tweeting back and forth?
No.
So it started like a week and a half ago. Zack Snyder on the set of Batman v Superman. Henry Cavill was going to set wearing this robe so people couldn't see the costume. And I guess he looked a lot like a Jedi. So Zack Snyder tweeted out like just Jedi soups. And he tweeted it at Bad Robot, which is J.J. Abrams' production company. So then about a week later, he filmed what looked like Batman on Tatooine and Beggar's Canyon, like from A New Hope, and he tweeted at Bad Robot. And so now Abrams is tweeting at Zack Snyder. So he just tweeted a picture of C-3PO like perched on top of a gargoyle in Gotham, looking like Batman with like the bat symbol, but instead of the bat symbol, it's like the rebel insignia.
Oh, that's so cool.
They're having a little fun with each other.
That sounds cool.
I mean, because neither of them have to worry about, you know, stuff like story or character development, so they got plenty of time to tweet funny photos.
Well, I'm sure it's not necessarily them tweeting them so much as like their assistant using their account, kind of.
I could see both of them just on set while filming is going on, just strifling through Photoshop, just trying to figure out how to do these images. Just like, yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Yeah,
faster, more intense.
Are we still talking about the hand?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm done. Yeah.
Sorry.
Drops the mic and leaves the stage.
Sorry to derail yet again.
Done. You can't be done yet because you got something for us, don't you?
Yes, Terminator. We all know that there's going to be another Terminator film, Terminator 5, what is now being called... We knew it was always called Terminator Genisys, but now they're being cute and they're spelling it with S-Y-S at the end. Because that's just fun. And we know that David hates it when movies change their names. Especially in this case when it's just one letter. That's kind of silly, but...
Well, that's because I'm lazy.
Terminators can't spell. That's the problem. It's still cute because of, you know, Cyberdyne Systems Model 101. They're all about the systems.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it looked like Schwarzenegger, when he Instagrammed the photo of the new title, it looked like he was on set at whatever Genisys is. It looks like it's whatever. Chair. Yeah, and then in the background you see like this like clear like office building, and it says like Genisys on there in the new spelling. So I'm assuming the Genisys is a corporation, mm-hmm. acting all corporation-y.
Mm-hmm. With a hybrid cause.
Yeah, with all snooty like.
Yeah. Oh, well. It doesn't bother me so much because I didn't have to change the tags and all of the posts.
Right. That's what I'm dreading that they release the title for episode 7. Then I have to go back through like 63 posts and like change all the tags to, you know, whatever they call it.
Or maybe Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice will change.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe they'll add an S.
Yeah. Fine. It's versus. God damn it. I take back my complaint.
Are we excited about this Terminator movie?
Yeah.
I think so, right?
Nope.
It all depends on Emilia Clarke, right? If she plays Daenerys Targaryen, we're all going to have a real problem with this, right? The Terminator's going to think she's a cyborg for acting all robot-y.
They should just make her be a cyborg. Yeah. Solve everyone's problems.
I'll hold judgment until I see something, and I think that'll be real telling, but... I mean, I like the Terminator universe, and I like the kind of spin that they're putting on this one. So, you know, if I see some footage and it looks good, then I'll start getting excited. You know, I sat through Salvation.
Now, Sarah Connor ultimately dies at some point. In Terminator 3, I was under the impression it was like cancer that got to her. I don't know, though.
Yeah, it was cancer.
Okay. If it does well, are we expecting to see more Terminator movies with Sarah Connor, you think? Or is it going to end with her dying? What do you think?
I think that they cast Emilia Clarke under the pretense that they would like this to be a franchise, that her and Jason Clarke, who plays John Connor, could continue on.
Why do you think that the Terminator movie with Christian Bale didn't do so well? That's the Terminator that we always wanted in the future, right? That's the Terminator that I always wanted. How come that one didn't pay off for everybody?
We wanted the future that was in Terminator 2, the nighttime, you know, just grim, just guerrilla army. And Salvation took place almost entirely during the day. And I mean, it was kind of...
We wanted those few second images from the first couple Terminator movies, you know, of those flashbacks or flash forwards to the future. We wanted the whole movie to look like those few seconds.
Right. And it was still pretty new in terms of the war starting. John Connor hadn't really risen up to be the leader of all of the resistance. He was just a major player in the resistance.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I didn't really like that they gave him a Terminator again, or they gave Kyle Reese a Terminator. Like, I don't know. I thought they would just be all bad Terminators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Spoiler alert, Sam Worthington is a Terminator.
Yeah, that's a pretty big spoiler.
It is.
All right, then. Well, moving on. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that opened this weekend. It actually beat out Guardians of the Galaxy. I was a little surprised
at that.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that, especially with all of the negative juju that was flying around this movie. I think that was just adult audiences, though. Kids seemed to be responding well. It ended up being $65.6 million. That's not too shabby.
No, Paramount was expecting $48 million.
Yeah, so there you go. It's a little surprise. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I wouldn't say it was amazing, but I definitely laughed, and I enjoyed myself the entire time from start to finish. I liked how they were big turtles. I liked how Raphael was bigger than the other turtles.
Yeah.
He was a beefy little turtle. And I thought that was badass how he liked to use his shell to just crush everything. He's like, duct tape my... He's like, tape it up. I'm going again. I'm like, hell yeah, dude. This is an awesome ride, and I'm glad I got in the car. How about that little Megan Fox action? Good stuff. Dave, you gave it a B-.
Yeah.
I'd probably give it a B+.
It could have probably went both ways. I really like the turtle designs. Like, I mean, I like that I could, without their headbands, I could probably have told them all apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was great. I loved Raphael, how Raphael was just bigger than all of them. And he was so intimidating. And I liked how they all played exactly how you think they would. Like Michelangelo Steele's show, I thought he was doing kiddie humor, but it still made me smile and laugh because I remember when I was a kid just loving Michelangelo, and this Michelangelo really embodied the Michelangelo of like the 90s cartoon that we all know and love. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I just had some small beefs that knocked it down. So
there you go.
That was it.
I think that this movie deserves everybody's money. It's definitely a fun way to end the summer lineup. I mean, if you saw Guardians of the Galaxy, you're never going to top that the rest of the year, I don't think. But Ninja Turtles is a nice send-off for the summer.
Cowabunga.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah. It's fun.
Go right now. We'll wait.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I don't know if it's playing this late.
I just like watching Michelangelo trying to get in April O'Neil's pants for like...
the whole movie? Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, it's my girlfriend.
Yeah. Good stuff. Oh. And I thought the fight scenes were really cool. And again, like Raph was just such a badass. I mean, he was one of my favorites. I liked how he was just kind of the lone wolf and just always had some kind of attitude. And this one, that played off really nicely. He was more like he could take care of himself. You know, typically they're always kind of equals. And this one, I felt that Raph was definitely, yeah, the beefcake of the bunch.
Yeah, he was definitely the muscle.
Yeah, he was his fearless little turtle. It was awesome.
What did you think of the Shredder design?
I thought it was a bit much.
Yeah.
I think I could have done without all the blades on the hands. I like it. If he just has like the two kind of predator claws, I think that's great. I didn't need him to have the five on each hand. Yeah, that was a little
shoot and call back.
Yeah, that was a bit much, but. And I would have liked to seen it evolve a little bit as opposed to just being, like, maybe he tried one time and it wasn't enough and he needed more juice, so then they upgraded his suit. I think that would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, as opposed to start with, like, classic Shredder look.
Yeah, not necessarily to where he, like, in Secret of the Ooze where he got mutated, but just, you're right, these guys are tougher than I thought. What can we do to make the suit better?
Yeah.
I think that would have been a little bit more fun.
I like that Splinter fought with his tail.
That was bad. And I really liked their fight. Like, Splinter held his own for a long time.
Yeah.
And that was good.
But did Splinter look off to you?
He looked a little bit different, but I couldn't quite place it. And
like he just didn't look as polished.
Yeah. Like, the turtles all looked great, and like they were really there in the room with April. The Splinter definitely looked a little weird. Anyway, totally worth a watch. I enjoyed it. I was not disappointed in the least bit. If anything, I was relieved at how optimistic I had been for over the last couple of years now. This movie's gone through quite a bit of ups and downs, taking a lot of shit, and I think that none of that was deserved, and that this movie is an excellent payoff.
Agreed.
Boom. Done. So, Amanda, what have you got for us?
AMC recently started showing a short little teaser promo for the upcoming Better Call Saul. They also finally gave us a vague premiere date. It's going to start in February of next year. So, what's that? Only 6 months away? And then in the little 9-second clip, which you can watch over at Geek Legacy. And sorry if you tried to watch it earlier. I tried to embed the code from AMC's website, and it got garbled along the way. But it's working now, so you can go watch these amazing 9 seconds of Bob Odenkirk talking about how essential lawyers are to everybody.
Yeah,
did you guys watch it?
Yeah,
did you guys
yeah.
have time to watch the 9 seconds?
Yeah, I watched it twice. I thought that I didn't realize that it was only 9 seconds. I thought I like fucked it up when I was in the play. I was like, "What did I hit?"
It's terrible. No, it's super short.
Yeah. Are you excited about Better Call Saul?
I am. I like Bob Odenkirk. He's really funny.
And he's the bee's knees. See.
And it sounds like Vince Gilligan is, you know, keeping together a lot of the people who worked on Breaking Bad. So. I imagine it will be just as good.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because, you know, everyone's going to be comparing it to it, whether it merits
even that. Even though it's like a completely different beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty awesome the first time Bryan Cranston shows up, though. They'll probably save that for when their ratings are down. They're like, oh, it's flashback time.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely directing an episode, so. Yeah. He might also appear in the first season, too.
Yeah, him and Aaron Paul have both said that they will show up on this show. Like, they haven't been asked or offered any parts, but they've both volunteered themselves saying, we're going to be in this episode. We're going to be in an episode.
So, we do have a fun Geek of the Week this week. I kind of started to mention it earlier when I was talking about Star Wars, but I wanted to hold off and reveal the winner of that contest who got to be in Star Wars Episode 7, because that was kind of a big deal. Just hours before we recorded the podcast, the announcement was made that a lucky gentleman by the name of DC Barnes won the Star Wars Force for Change contest, and we'll get to fly out to London, do an on-set visit, get put in a super cool costume, and appear on screen. And if he's lucky, they're probably going to make an action figure of the character that he represents in the film. It doesn't get much cooler than that. So for being a super lucky geek that actually gets to not only visit the set, but be in the goddamn movie, of which I am very jealous, DC Barnes, you are this week's Geek of the Week.
What?
Nice.
We have action figures. We're not Star Wars action figures, but we have action figures.
We do have action figures.
That's series two.
Some bits and pieces may be made from Star Wars figures, but we're all one of a kind.
There you go.
That makes it even better.
I like it.
I think they raised like $5 million for that Force for Change.
They did. They raised something like $4.2 million from fans and contributors, and then Disney put in an additional $1 million, bumping it up over $5.2 million. So. Wow. That is really amazing. It's super cool. And it just goes to show, I mean, yes, it's really neat that it was all for a good cause, but all these Star Wars fans that were really hoping they would win this contest, that was what motivated them to part with so much money and ultimately got over 4.2 million out of the public, the general public. So those are all hopeful Star Wars fans wanting to win this prize, as well as having a nice tax write-off and the, you know, peace of mind of doing something good. But I tend to believe that everybody is selfish to some degree and probably wants to do it so they can win. But maybe I'm just a dick. So, David, rumor has it you have a game for us.
Shit, yeah, I got a game. You all ready?
Y'all ready for this?
Since you're not playing this game, yes, I think I am ready, and I might actually stand a chance.
I thought it'd be a fun game to honor, to see how much we know our Robin Williams movie. So I'm going to give you a logline for a Robin Williams movie, and you just got to shout out the name. Super easy game. This is going to be a speed of test and agility and just diehard gumption for who wants it more. So you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All I got to do is shout the title. All right. Whoa. Amanda, are you unmuted?
Yeah.
Are you awake?
Mostly.
All right. I'm going to start off with a good one. A gay cabaret owner and his drag queen companion.
Oh, shit.
Shit, I don't even know who I heard first.
I heard Randy first.
All right.
I heard Amanda first.
I don't know, man. That was just noise. You know what? I'm going to give you all a point.
Don't give me one because I know I was last.
All right. No point
I'll
for Justin.
I'll take the high road.
Thanks for the honesty, Justin.
I get 2 points for honesty.
Yeah, you might. If there's a tiebreaker, it's all you. All right. Number two. An unorthodox and irreverent DJ begins to shake up things when he is... There you go. Randy knows his... Good morning, Vietnam.
I forgot that they were called DJs. I thought DJs were people that hook up their iPod to a speaker system.
Oh, wait. This one was not on the list, and I was sad that it wasn't. Kids show host...
Pat Adams. No! Death
oh,
Death
what are you doing with Pat?
Fuck!
Justin's out. Death kids show... Yeah, Death to Smoochie.
I forgot about that movie.
It's a great movie. All right.
A little weird.
Speaking of DJs, this one, a former radio DJ... former radio DJ, suicidally despondent.
What dreams may come?
Nope.
Dang it.
Suicidally despondent because of a terrible mistake he made, finds redemption in helping a deranged homeless man.
Fisher King.
There you go. Fisher King.
Oh, I've never heard of that one.
That's the one we were just talking about with Jeff Bridges and the Knight on the Horse.
With Terry Gilliam. We brought it up 3 times on the show already.
Nice I was listening people. To you.
All right, well, this one's going to be for speed, so get your buzzers ready. When Captain Hook kidnaps his children... Here you go.
You gave away the name of the movie.
I said for speed. All right, here's another one. A small town loser determines to have one more shot at the big time by winning a football game. Also stars Kurt Russell.
Oh, God. I know this one.
I know.
Huh?
It's definitely not the worst of times.
Best of times?
Best of times.
Fuck. I saw that movie so long ago.
Oh, it's so good.
I fail at sports movies, so.
I hunted it down a while ago. It totally stands up. Yeah. All right, next up. When a street urchin accidentally meets a princess
Aladdin.
Who is in a...
Aladdin
it is. Randy with 5, Justin 2, Amanda 1. All right, next up. When two kids find and play a magical board game, they release a man... I heard Justin first.
I heard Randy first. That's another 2 points for honesty.
All right, here we go.
1 point for each of us.
A janitor at MIT has a gift for
Good Will Hunting. That was Justin.
That was definitely Justin first. All right. English teacher John Keating inspires his students to a love
of society.
I heard Randy. All right.
It's a cat noise, by the way.
I like it. Well, Randy's won the game, but we have one more question just for fun. Golden snitch question. After a bitter divorce, an actor descends...
The Doubtfire.
There you go.
Woo! I caught the golden snitch.
And Well, Randy had 6, Justin had 5, Amanda had 1. So, great job, guys. Hope you enjoyed.
Wait, what about my bonus points for honesty?
You know, in life, you're a winner. In the game, Randy's the winner.
This is bullshit.
Well, that's all I got. Anybody else got anything else?
Yeah. You're going to want to listen to the Sci-Fi Talk official podcast. That's a big one. Subscribe to it, Tony Tolato. Awesome. Fine young man. Uptown all the way. We like him quite a bit. Check out his podcast. It's amazing. He has super fun guests on his show all the time. He even had George R.R. Martin on his show once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It is. Is he broadcasting from his tugboat?
He does look like a tugboat captain. He's a fun guy. Yeah, so he's a good guy. And then also our good buddy Tim Byers, who just launched a new website, thefullbleed.com.
.com.
This guy knows everything. He can make you monies. It's not one of those type of deals where you just, you know, send him $20 and he sends you a couple of VHS tapes on how to make money. This guy actually knows the business side of our geek culture as far as studios and how they make their monies and how you can make money, too, by investing in said studios and companies. It's amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like money.
It's an interesting side of things. We always talk about points on the back end, see? He knows about the points.
Hmm.
And I know about the back end.
Yeah. So check those two guys out. And then obviously, we haven't mentioned these guys in a while, and I feel bad about that, but our good friends, Stephen Alvawood, they have this wonderful show called Flipping the Nerd. So check that out. It's on the YouTubes there. They talk about the video games.
And if you listen to them, make sure you guilt them into doing more for Geek Legacy, because we miss Mr. Wood and want to see more from him on our site.
Well, folks, thanks for listening again. I want to remind you to check out the other wonderful podcasts on our network. We got the Pixelated Podcast with our very own Justin Cavender and Stephen Janes. We've got the Comic Corner with Tyler and the Jerd. And like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. If you get a chance, check out the trailer for Nonstop to Comic-Con. And we love you so much. We will see you next week.